Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Mitch Tyke. Lawrence Joubert never intended to be a rock and roll star. The London-born guitarist, composer, arranger, and session musician had his sights set on a studio career, and he had a very nice one going in London until he got a fateful call from Paul McCartney and ended up joining Sir Paul McCartney's band Wings in 1979. But it wasn't the first change in musical direction for Joubert. He had studied classical guitar as well as music theory at college, but quickly decided the commercial possibilities surrounding those were limited. Today, after winning 2 Grammys for his work for Wings, Joubert has become a prolific composer and a virtuosic fingerstyle guitarist. The latter skill brought him to Milwaukee to lecture at UWM's Peck School of the Arts in the spring. He joined Bonnie North in the studio then with his rendition of the Beatles classic, I Saw Her Standing There.
I saw her standing there, Lawrence Joubert, in Lake Effect's performance studio. Lawrence, fantastic. Thank you so much.
I got to take my scarf off.
Please do.
I'm warming up fast.
Yes, get comfortable, because we're going to want to hear some more music for sure. But wow, that was wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
And I think it's appropriate that we started with Beatles, because I have read that it was the first song that you ever played was a Beatles tune when you were about 13.
I started learning Beatle tunes, but not only Beatle tunes. I mean, it was everything was going on. You know, the Rolling Stones, the Animals, the Dave Clark Five, the Kinks. A little later, Fairport Convention. And by the time I was 13, I had my heart set on being a studio musician, because I'd kind of learned that that was the way to make a living and be a guitar player. And so I studied classical guitar. I went to London University. I worked around London, and gradually, kind of, once I graduated from college, I went straight into studio. And then after about 3 years of that, I was asked to join Wings. But so the rock and roll fantasy was, well, wouldn't it be great to play with the Beatles, you know, as a kid? Well, I got to play with 3 out of 4 of them. You know, it was just an amazing thing.
An amazing thing. Yeah. And I want to go back to something you said about the classical, because I can see that and hear it in mm-hmm. your technique and the way you approach songs. Did that training, has that served you all this time?
Kind of. It was a necessity, because I wanted to study music theory, like music, you know, just music history, music theory. And because I was a terrible piano player, I didn't have a piano to practice on, and the guitar was my passion. I learned music through the guitar, and in order to do so, I had to have a certain grade level of classical guitar. So I took classical guitar lessons in school, and that got me my kind of appropriate subjects for studying music in college. And then once I was in college, I had a few classical guitar lessons, but mostly I was teaching guitar at that point, you know, to kind of supplement my income. And I didn't have a great passion for the repertoire. I was more motivated by Jimi Hendrix and Eric Clapton and the rock and roll and blues and jazz end of the spectrum, Joe Pass, Barney Kessel, players like that. I could never see the point in being a concert classical player. It just didn't suit my temperament.
But it's influenced how
But it influenced how I played. But most important, it influences how I approach music. Because what I discovered as a teenager was that I had an aptitude for analysis, that I could listen to a piece of music and figure out how it was put together. And that was all valuable, indeed, as a studio musician. It wasn't until I joined Wings that I started to actually understand and apply the stuff that I'd learned in college in terms of the compositional process, the creative process, the record production and stuff like that. So there's a lot of layers to it.
You had this lucrative career, the session studio musician career, and then Paul McCartney calls. Is that pretty much how it happened?
Somewhat. When they asked me, you know, if I would join, I thought about it for about a nanosecond. I mean, I wasn't going to turn down the opportunity to work with Paul McCartney, but I was giving up a lot in order to do that, because that wasn't my real career path. My career path was, you know, get myself established as a studio musician and stay in that track, and didn't work.
But it put you on the map in a different sort of way.
It did. And I got my master's from McCartney University. In the major arc of my career, it was a very powerful episode that gave me some good credentials. It gave me some great education, some great experience. And I certainly don't regret it, because one of the things it did was it catapulted me out of England and into America, because when Wings folded, I moved to New York.
Now, is that when the fingerstyle guitar really started to take off for you, or had you already been doing that?
I had been doing it. Very early on, it was part of one of my motivations in learning classical guitar was because I was fascinated by fingerstyle guitar. And I'd started learning ragtime pieces, and I would perform a little bit, you know. But I would, like, one night I'd play a folk club, and the next night I'd play a jazz club with an alto sax player, and then I'd go and do a top 40 gig. And it was, you know, just incredible variety. And I think that versatility was kind of built in because I have such eclectic musical tastes. And I think that was also what got me the Wings gig, was that I was versatile. I could play any style. You know, and that got me through as a studio musician and as a performer now and as an artist. That still kind of underlies everything, is the fact that I'm just so eclectic. And I think attribute that to growing up in England and not having music be compartmentalized. As here in America,
yes,
Everything very much compartmentalized. And I don't think of music that way, because the kind of the meta level of music, the meta information, doesn't change. You know, style is regional and it's individual, but music is the same wherever you go. It's all music. And my whole mission as an artist has been to take that kind of musicality and fuse it with guitaristics and orchestrate what I do on the guitar.
Which I have to say you do beautifully.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
and
you
I'm
very
hoping
much.
That we will hear another example of that.
Okay.
Tell us what you're going to play.
But here's a tune of mine called Mosaic.
Got lost in that one.
Yeah, I can't afford to get lost.
Yeah, no, you can't, but I was able to. That was Lawrence Juber playing his tune Mosaic in the Lake Effect Performance Studio. Wow. And I really could hear what you were talking about, the orchestrations and the different things that were happening. Oh, yeah, that chord just makes me want to smile.
F minor 6-9.
Just delicious. And as you were saying, there's a lot of jazz influence, a lot of other, certainly pop, certainly other things going on.
But it's borderline everything.
Yeah.
You know, categorization is tricky because that's a marketing angle. But
they have music, to sell it somehow.
They do. But I take it from the point of view that, you know, I'm an artist and I'll just express myself the way I want to express myself.
Well, one of the ways you do that is as a composer as well. So I want to talk about that just a little bit, because that has been a really key component of your career as well.
I guess it has been. I didn't set out to be a composer. I discovered I was a composer because I started just writing pieces. And it's like, oh, I can do this. And it was really, I think, you know, working with McCartney, because what happened was I had learned about composition in college, but I didn't really compose. You know, I thought that there was some kind of bolt of lightning was supposed to, you know, whack you around the side of the head, and then, you know, inspiration flowed out. And then I'd watch Paul, you know, where it was a job. I mean, you know, he'd sit down at the piano and he would write a tune. You know, we'd say to him on a Friday, we need a new single, so go home and write one, you know, and he'd come back on Monday having written a song, which is exactly how they did it with the Beatles. You know, he and John would sit down and say, well, what should we do today? Well, let's write a swimming pool, you know. So the process of making it a kind of a work, you know, where I would just sit down and I would do it. And then I realized that it just would flow. And then I had the experience of writing some theatrical stuff, scoring some movies, and you know, having to, you know, okay, you've got a deadline. You have 10 days to write an hour's worth of orchestral music and record it, orchestrate it, record it, and, you know, deliver it. And so the clock becomes the master of that. I have a tune, Guitar Noir, which is a... And it's become a nice concert piece. I wrote it in 20 minutes because I needed an extra piece for a DVD that I was doing, and it ended up becoming the title tune of the DVD. And now it's kind of a standard repertoire piece for me. And then I have other tunes that I might have spent a year working on that work great for the album, but I'll never play live for whatever reason, because I can only do so much in a 90-minute, two-hour concert. Concerts never last long enough for me because it's like, oh, I didn't get to play this and I didn't get to play that. So the craft of composing was something that really started to fascinate me. And that coincided also with the technology getting to the point where I could actually compose at home and MIDI and then, you know, subsequently all the Logic Pro Tools kind of level. Sure. And, you know, I've done movie stuff. I've done TV stuff. I've, you know, done video game stuff. I mean, Diablo 3 just came out, which I wrote music for that. And, you know, for 12-string guitar and orchestra, it was great. Great experience, but not necessarily anything I'd play in concert. You know, it's commercial music. I mean, it helps pay the bills. But it also gives me the freedom to be more driven by the artistry when it comes to my solo stuff. Because, you know, guitar players rarely get wealthy by being guitar players. But, you know, I've made a decent living in the music business, and there are things to aspire to. You know, there's still career goals in all of this. There's still, for me, there's still an arc, and there's still a lot more stuff to learn. I'm still learning stuff, developing new techniques, finding tunes, whether they're original or established tunes that I can do interesting things with.
And I am hoping that you will leave us with something of wonderful musical substance as we finish up our interview. What are you going to play us out with?
I'm going to play some Jimi Hendrix.
Lovely.
Little Wing. This was a tune that I never actually kind of sat down and really kind of meticulously arranged. I mean, I've done some very involved arrangements, but with Little Wing, it was just something that I played it one night and the audience says, play that again. You know, they made me play it twice. And every time I'd play it, people would kind of be demanding it. So it became just part of my repertoire. And when I was touring with Al Stewart a few years ago, I played at the Albert Hall. And I had seen Jimi Hendrix there in 1968. So I got to play this tune standing in the exact spot that I saw Jimi do it, which was like really just one of those kind of magical moments.
Yeah.
So this is Little Wing.
Lawrence Juber is a two-time Grammy Award-winning guitarist, as well as a prolific composer and arranger. He was the lead guitarist for the band Wings from 1979 through 1981, and is now a successful solo fingerstyle guitarist. He was in Milwaukee this spring to lecture and perform for the UWM Fingerstyle Guitar Program and joined Bonnie North then. That's Friday's show. Don't forget that we're in the midst of a fun drive at WUWM, but one that doesn't sound like your typical pledge drive. Our quiet drive doesn't interrupt programming, but what has not changed is the need for you to participate. If you've received a letter from us recently, please renew your pledge today, or you can simply become a member by going to WUWM.com. Thanks from our whole team of producers, including Bonnie North, Stephanie Lecce, and Dan Harmon, with assistance from Trapper Shep, James Gutierrez, and the newest members of our roster of production assistants, Sam Willis and Jenny Reinke. I'm Mitch Teich. Thanks so much for tuning in today, and I hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and Sunday afternoon at 3 for Lake Effect Weekend from WUWM FM and HD1, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh Air is next.